Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Anki's here. Jacob's here. Bree's here. No one's, where they're supposed to be, apparently.
Why? I'm here.
I mean, you're where you're supposed to be. Jacob's, I believe, where they're supposed to be.
Jacob's live from his bathroom, so yes, he is where he's supposed to be.
No, I'm live from the guest bedroom.
I don't believe you.
Which is not a bathroom. Despite my dog's assistance.
So how's everyone doing?
I'm at a friend's house. Just doing good. Had some good food. I had tacos for dinner. Like real tacos. It was good stuff.
Been nice.
How about you, Aki? How's things?
I'm fine.
So talkative today, aren't you? Jacob, how are you?
I'm all right.
I mean, I just got done with work and now I'm here and trying to blow through all this as quick as I can because my oldest is at a sleepover tonight at a friend's house. And so the youngest, we're having a sleepover downstairs and he's going to get to he's probably going to pass out around midnight, but you know, he's playing video games and watching movies tonight. So
well, if there's anyone who's good at blowing things quick, it's you, Jacob. my MRI is tomorrow, so I finally get to find out what's wrong with my arm.
Man, I hope that gets resolved soon.
It's getting worse, I think.
Oh no.
Today it's just felt like hell. Like my forearm.
You definitely tore something.
It's not even my bicep hurting as much now. It's all in the forearm and I don't it's just sore. Sucks. But you want to know what else sucks?
What?
News.
Yeah.
Been an up and down week of news. I think the big news of the week is that hot on the heels of Microsoft pissing off their entire fan base by jacking up hardware prices, this week they announced Gears of War is getting remade again and going to PlayStation. Gears of War Reloaded will launch August 26th on Steam, PS5, and I guess they might as well throw it on Xbox as well. It'll be $39.99. It will be on Game Pass. Reportedly getting a physical version on PS5, but not Xbox.
Huh. And if you have Gears of War Ultimate Edition for Xbox, you will automatically get this for free.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that thing's on sale all the time for $15, so
yeah.
Might as well.
What do you think? Do you remember back in the 360 days when Microsoft paid a shitload of money to Epic to buy the Gears IP to prevent it from going to PlayStation?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
But okay. That was back when they cared. Yeah. When they were trying to sell consoles. Now they're just trying to sell games to everyone so they can maximize profits.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just find it funny how much money they spent trying to get things exclusive, and now they've given up on exclusivity.
Yeah, but during that, when did they buy it?
A long time ago.
A decade and a half ago?
Yeah, that's 15 years of exclusivity.
Even Bethesda.
That's a third of our lives. It's only been on Xbox. I know, but what I'm saying is it's just all right, they had it for 15 years. Now everyone can play. All right. I'm fine. I don't know.
This is just more people who get to experience and enjoy Gears of War.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I mean, like, back in the day, like, on old, like, OG Xbox and 360, yeah, I cared, like, oh, yeah, like, Xbox is best because we've got Halo and Dead or Alive and blah, 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 blah. Nowadays, I'm just like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm more annoyed if it's, like, you know, everyone but Xbox gets a game. You know, so it's just, I don't know.
When you're younger, tribal attitudes are more prevalent. When you get older, you just want to enjoy shit.
Yeah, I don't have enough time. Like, between kids' work and all that other kind of stuff, I don't have time to care whether or not something's, like, exclusive. I'm probably never going to get a chance to play it anyway.
You know what? Fair. There's a reason why there's over 1,000 games in my Steam library's wish list at this point, because I just keep finding games and I'm like, oh, I want that. That looks so awesome. And then I don't think again of it again for like 5 fucking years because I'm so damn busy with other shit.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know that I ever completed the original Gears of War campaign. I don't know if I did. I know I did 2 and 3. But, like, the original one, like, I don't know. I thought the game sucked, and I ended up having to do co-op with my roommate at the time, John. And, like, we were about ready to get into fist fights with each other over the level where, like, the rain is, like, glass. And, like, and you have to stay in, like, the guided path or whatever. I don't know if you remember that level. I don't know. It was a pain in the dick. Like...
Wasn't it like Beasts in the Darkness or something like that? I thought it was, I don't know,
but it was,
I remember you having to be like following a certain path through
the like
shitty area. Through, like,
yeah, it was like an abandoned research station or something like that. But like that and Rockstar Table Tennis, man, John and I almost used to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, it was probably Krill in the Darkness, because I know Krill attacked when they were in the dark, but I don't
know. I think it was like literal issue. I think it was like literal rain that would hurt you. Here's,
I don't remember that.
Of War rain.
I just remember Gears of War ruining a relationship for me, so there's that.
Jesus.
Razor Hail is what it was called.
I don't remember that at all. Man, it's been a long time since I played that fucking game though. Some point I really need to go back in 100%.
That was Gears of... Wait. I don't know. Anyway. But yeah. Oh,
yeah, it was Krill in Gears of War 1 and the Razor Hail in Gears 2.
Okay.
Fair. Yeah.
But yeah, it was, that level sucked. In my opinion, it's up there with God of War when you go to hell.
Every day of my life.
Grand Theft Auto 6 got another trailer this week, and I think the entire world except me cared. Releases May 26th.
Yep, they kind of...
Yay!
I don't know. I guess a lot of people were expecting it to come out sooner and may have delayed their own releases, and now it's not coming out until May 26th of next year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
expecting it for a couple more years, actually.
I mean, I thought it was going to come out this fall. And I mean, like, it was speculated that Gearbox moved up Borderlands by 2 weeks, you know, on the off chance that it was releasing then.
But now they can push it back 2 weeks again.
Like, fine. I saw the trailer. Like, it looks amazing. Can't wait for it. I don't know that I'm going to buy it at launch because, again, backlog.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it looks pretty cool. I hope it's worth it. Like the weight that we've had.
I've played one GTA game, and that was a little bit of Liberty City, and that was it.
I played OG GTA.
Yeah, I played that and GTA 4. I have GTA 5. I cracked it open for like 2 hours, and I think that was it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I was supposed to get a free code of GTA 5 when I got my second Xbox Series, and I don't think I ever actually got a copy of it.
I don't play the GTA games much. They just don't click with me. I like Saints Row.
Me either. Yeah.
Yeah, Saints Row is awesome.
Like, GTA is just too realistic. I play video games to escape.
Yeah, allow me to run around naked and kick people in the balls. It's a much better time.
Oh, and I want to swing a dildo bat at people.
Yes. Oh, the Penetrator. Yes.
Yeah. There are analysts saying console prices may rise 69% in the U.S. due to Captain Cocksucker's tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be shocked if it's only 69%, to be honest.
I put that as news because the headline said 69%.
Yeah. Fair.
I think it's going to be more than that, but yeah, fair.
But 69. I'm a child.
Fair.
Game Pass. A bunch of games coming to Game Pass. Good lineup. Y'all see what's coming?
Nope. Tell us.
May 6th, we got Dredge.
Nice.
That is a fun game. I just got that on Steam recently, and it has been really fun. I really like it.
Well, now you can play it on Game Pass Ultimate.
Probably will.
May 7th was Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2.
All right.
Is that the one that's just a 2D fighting game, or is that the one that's also like an RPG or something as well?
I think that's just a fighting game. Okay. Kakarot is the action-adventure.
Yeah, okay. That one was fun, unexpectedly.
I think that might be the one I own, and that's the only one I've ever been interested in, because it had RPG elements. I was like, I'm bad at just standard fighting games.
May 8th. Revenge of the Savage Planet launched onto Game Pass.
Yes.
We'll be talking about that, next week?
Yes.
And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutants Unleashed.
What?
Oh, I don't know that one.
That's a fun game. It's the Outright Games one.
I think is it easy 100%?
No.
I wouldn't say.
I was about to say the fact that you started with, no, the answer is no.
I mean, the thing is that it's not a particularly hard game, but you're going to have to redo stuff multiple times to get everything.
I am so lazy.
Because it has, like, I don't think it's, like, really randomized missions, but, like, there are missions where if you don't take them at a certain time, then you just eat shit. So, not literally, but...
I was hoping there wouldn't be any scatology in this.
I mean, it's rated for kids.
It's a kid's game. God damn it. May 13th, we're getting Warhammer Vermintide 2 coming back to Game Pass Ultimate.
All right.
Cool, I guess.
May 15th, a brand new indie game from a startup developer. It's called Doom the Dark Ages.
Nice.
I need to watch somebody play that before I decide whether that's going to be something I'm going to play or not. Because I liked Doom 2018 or whatever the fuck it was, but Doom Eternal had a bit too much going on all at once. I couldn't keep up with what I needed to do, so I couldn't play that one.
Mm.
So I'm just waiting to see if this one continues by just adding more stuff, or if it's moving back a little, because Eternal just had a little too much. I'm hoping it's the latter, because if it is, I really want to play it. Looks so cool.
We'll find out in a few days.
Yeah.
Early access. You can buy the deluxe upgrade and get early at, what is it, 3 days early, 2 days early?
Probably three. It's I don't the remember standard what Doom usually. Is.
But early, and then some other shit in there that
Doom,
you get.
Doom's the first person shooter, Joe. You have to shoot demons?
No.
No.
You shoot Barbie dolls, obviously.
Yeah. May 16th, Culebra and the Souls of Limbo.
Yay!
Nice.
Launches right to Game Pass. If you want to hear more about that one, tune in next week, because we're scheduled to have the devs join us.
Yay!
Ooh.
Yeah. And May 20th, Firefighting Simulator The Squad and Police Simulator Patrol Officers.
Huh.
I really wish the squad was like
firefighter. Yeah.
I wish the squad one was like Teen Girl Squad, except they're firefighters.
What's
our face? So
the four of us play together, it would be Team Girl Squad Firefighter Simulator.
So good.
Don't do that voice. It's scary.
Arrowed.
That's going to be in my nightmares tonight. Can't be all good news, though. Gotta have a few games leaving the service as well. May 15th, we are losing 5 games with Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons leaving, Chance of Senar, Dune Spice Wars, Haunty, and The Big Con.
I need to finish The Big Con.
Yeah, that's the Game Pass update for the beginning of the month. I think it's a good update.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Spray Paint Simulator is releasing on Xbox, PlayStation, PC, and hitting Game Pass on May 29th. It's the Switch June 16th. And if you want to hear more about this game, tune in next week. Next Wednesday, we're going to be doing a Twitch interview with the devs at Spray Paint Sim.
Good question, Joe. When you approach these devs for like interviews and stuff, like do you give them like links to our socials and stuff like that?
Yes.
Huh. And they look at our Facebook page and they're still
every opportunity to back out.
They look at that Facebook page and they're like, yeah, I still want to go on this show.
I don't promote the Facebook page.
Oh, so you don't include that link?
My email includes the Blue Sky link and the YouTube link.
I feel offended.
Good. It's on our link tree, at least, I think. Podcast.com. Yep, it's there. The SML Facebook.
So do they have the
SML Spotify, the SML iTunes?
What about our coupon code?
That's below the Twitch thing.
Okay, so it's still listed though, right?
I think it's still active. I don't fucking
No, it is.
I don't think anyone has ever used it.
I check it every once in a while, and like when they have like a random post that shows up on the podcast feed, I'll comment like, use our code GapingBeehole to get a discount. So I do promote it when I see it.
That is sad.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to go check out their Facebook page right now.
I think it's better to promote our merch page. You buy shirts, mugs, stickers, hats.
I'm wearing an SML shirt right now.
I'm wearing an SML shirt right now.
Go team.
Aki, are you wearing an SML shirt right now?
Is Aki wearing a shirt right now?
Is Aki alive right now?
Not sure.
Oh, she messaged me. I have no news. I must pull a Jacob real fast. Aki's pooping. We're going to make fun of her when she comes back. Nintendo's latest account agreement states the company can now brick your device in a warning against unauthorized use such as piracy or emulation. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's pretty bullshit. Like, unless like they have proof that your machine is doing said thing. And even then bricking it's like a bit fucking extreme. I think that might get tested in US courts, because wouldn't that violate first sale doctrine? Like after Nintendo sells you that thing, they're not supposed to get involved with what the hell you do with it. Now, they could deny you access to stuff, like you can't go use their online services with it. But going so far as to, like, we're just going to brick your shit. Nah, that's... I don't see how that holds up in the U.S.
That was an awfully cogent, like, argument.
Well, I used to deal in copyright law, so
okay.
So all that knowledge, just like, which I haven't had to use for like almost 10 years now, all of a sudden, just like,
good job.
Thank you.
I don't know. I don't see why it would ever affect me, because I don't plan on pirating games. So
The thing. I know, but that's the problem, because that's the defense that they always use. It's that bullshit like cop thing of just, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, then you have nothing to fear. Like, no, that is not how that works. Like, again, first sale doctrine.
Nintendo would brick your console with zero evidence for no reason.
Yes. Hold on. I'm not saying that they would specifically break mine, brick mine, but the thing is that they are giving themselves the legal impetus to be able to do that, which, again, that is a straight up violation of first sale doctrine. They can't just brick your crap. They can make it so you can't have access. Again, they can make it so you don't have access to their services, whether they shut down their online stuff or whether they just block your console. They are within their legal right to do that. But fucking with your shit after you have purchased it? No, that's not kosher. Not here in America, anyway. I guarantee it will not hold up in court.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if anyone decides to fight it. You should fight it. Start the lawsuit.
Make it a class action. Get as many people up in that bitch as you can.
Claire Obscure hit 2 million sales after 12 days.
Jesus.
Good stuff. Deserves it.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. I love that game.
They recently put out a patch.
Nah, I've heard lots of people geek out about it, though. You acknowledge that if you fail to comply with the foregoing restrictions and sorry, I'm gonna mute myself. I'm reading like the contract now. Hold on.
So
Claire Obscure has a patch that nerfed a big mile like Uber attack that would do like way more damage than was intended. Yeah.
I know exactly what they nerfed just by that. No, that sucks. You could spec your character to one hot shot kill one of the end level end game bosses with her. That's a shame. That's exactly how I was planning on building her. Oh well.
I can't wait until my arm feels better so I could play that one more.
Yeah.
I can't wait until I get smart enough to be able to beat the boss that I'm stuck on.
Smart enough?
Yeah. I have to figure out when to dodge and block and stuff properly. I'm not good at that. I'm right before you get to the town thingy, the village, whatever the fuck it is. And the boss, there's two bosses, an optional one and the main one you have to beat to get there, and I can't beat either of them. Granted, I also still have chosen not to level up anything, but so that's, you know, probably a big part of
your shit up.
I know, I don't know how I want to spec the characters yet, so I've been kind of avoiding it.
Level your shit up.
Fine, I guess I will level everyone's stats to where they're like level 12
supposed to be
or whatever. Maybe.
Proud of you.
I mean, I got this far basically as a level 1 scrub, so you know, I was really hoping. And if I could figure out the blocking and shit of that, I would be able to continue doing that.
Oh god. Starbreeze bought out PlayOn's publishing rights and will now self-publish Payday 3. All future updates. They claim this will allow them to get things done quicker, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I still don't think I've heard anyone say anything good about Payday 3.
That's because there's not much to say about Payday 3.
I don't know. The tutorial was all right. It was fun. That's all I got to play.
Last bit of news I have, Forza Horizon 5 has already sold nearly 1.5 million copies on PlayStation 5, far outpacing the performances of Sea of Thieves and Indiana Jones, based on the report and the graph that it showed. In the first week, Indiana Jones sold less than 150,000 copies on PS5.
Wow.
Oof. That sounds like a flop to me.
Yeah.
It was apparently a decent game, too.
I've heard nothing but good about the game, but
played it.
That couldn't have been a cheap license.
new.
And the amount
hopefully
of
they made enough they money off of that? Xbox, hopefully.
I don't know, but it doesn't look like it sold too well over on PlayStation. At least Forza's taken off, it seems.
Something had to eventually.
Then in August, we'll see how Gears does over there. And I'm guessing by the end of the year, Halo's going to get announced, too.
Probably.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Just hopefully with all of that happening, PlayStation starts moving some of their shit to Xbox. That'd be nice.
That would be nice. I think they should. I still think they should trial the first Spider-Man and Helldivers. Everyone wants Helldivers. Like, even the devs are like, hey, we're independent. We kind of want this to happen too, but it's Sony's property, so we can't do it. And Insomniac has history working with Xbox, so I'm sure they know how to get Spider-Man on the system.
And we all know that would probably do fucking amazeballs on Xbox, realistically speaking. That is the exact kind of game Xbox players fucking love.
Yeah. I think they should trial a game or two and see how it does.
I would be down for that.
Maybe they'll see how things go with Marathon.
Because
that's a PlayStation game that's going to be releasing on Xbox. Because Bungie wanted to keep it multi-platform.
See, Joe, there you go.
I think that's going to go.
Those are the PlayStation games that we're getting. MLB The Show and Marathon. There you go.
At least one of them's good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, from everything I'm seeing, Marathon.
It looks awesome. I don't care. That's the problem. Like, yeah, cool.
I don't care about an online extraction shooter, man. I don't care.
I think that's how most people feel.
Give us everybody's golf, God damn it. Let Namco give us that one. Jesus Christ, Sony. Oh, that's my news. Hockey, anything besides you pooping earlier?
No.
What kind of poop was it?
One that came out of my ass?
Well, yeah, I meant like solid, runny, liquid. Like, were you sacrificing virgins on your asshole, or like what?
Yes, 72 of them.
It's all just thrown into that lake of fire. Jeez.
Hey, right in his asshole.
Has to be someone's job.
Straight up his ass!
I don't think it needs to be.
Well, it is, though, so...
Something needs to be done about this piece of shit.
Bless you.
And they were all sacrificed to make sure something happened.
You guys are a bunch of ball bags. I still like that one a lot. So, Bree, any news?
Yeah, GameStop Canada is rebranding to EB Games after being bought out by a toy seller whose name I totally forgot to write in my notes.
Oh, McFarlane. It's not Todd McFarlane who's buying it, but it's one of the co-founders.
Yes, exactly. And other Nintendo news, they're suing third-party accessory maker Genki for trademark violation, false advertising, and unfair competition. This is the company that showed the mock-up of the Switch 2 in January ahead of the April 2nd release. So they're in trouble.
That's not who you want to be in trouble with either.
Yeah. No, but that's all the news I have.
All right, Jacob, what's on your news list?
I got two bits of news. The first one is Bungie's attempt to dismiss a copyright case about Destiny 2 has gone awry because they were trying to use YouTube videos describing all of the vaulted elements of the game. And the judge was just like, listen, you fucking nerds, I'm not going to sit through a 10-hour lore video. Like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, so... He's just like, yeah, no, that case is moving forward. Find another way.
Nice.
So there's that. And then I've got some Jesus, I have to do the soundboard. Okay, where the fuck is it? There's the soundboard. Oh my god, where is it? Where is it? The fuck? All right, somebody hit the movie watch thing.
Listen here, it's movie watch.
There. All you had to do was say to hit the button.
Well,
yeah, good job, drug addicts.
I kind of figured that you were going to, but, you know.
You didn't make any indication that it was going to be movie watch. You just said,
I told you, I only had two
one
things.
One of them might have been, like, I didn't know. Squad news.
I didn't know it was movie. You didn't mention it was movie.
Dumb idiot.
Why I mean, I just a couple weeks ago, you had Ball Squad news. I'm just saying.
Did I?
It's true.
Yes.
You did. You about turned what? It into Ball Squad.
Oh, we're really getting the use out of that soundboard tonight, aren't we?
Yeah. SML After Dark.
I still need to learn to use the soundboard.
You click the button, and then you click the other buttons, and they do things.
No.
I'll learn it at some point.
Not really much to learn, sadly, or else I wouldn't know how to do it because I'm stupid.
Okay, so anyway,
it's movie watch.
There.
Return to Silent Hill is guaranteed to be getting a wide theatrical release from Cineverse.
Oof. Yay!
It doesn't say when it's going to get released. It's just, we got somebody.
Cool.
Okay.
Good enough.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited. Christoph Gans is returning to direct, and I think they're just straight up ignoring the second movie. So
I'm probably the only one on the planet who actually liked that piece of shit. And I realized it was a piece of shit, but I fucking loved it.
I didn't mind it, but, like, the ending fight was so stupid. And
that's one of the main reasons why I liked it.
And honestly, it was a waste of an extra $5 to see that in 3D.
Fair.
I saw chat mention a few times they want to mention In Games on their social media pages is asking which games Xbox players would like to see ported over. They ask that you don't just reply with all of them because logistically they can't, but they want to know where to start.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing that you told us because I almost, they have an affiliate program.
We don't qualify. Don't bother.
Why don't? Oh, okay.
Where's this one of their games is so I can go tell them that one.
On their Blue Sky, it's on their Twitter.
I would say CrossCode, but that's already on Xbox.
Yeah, their Blue Sky says, Xbox players, this is a no promises post, but just asking if we were to convert some of our games to Xbox, which ones would you be most interested in seeing? Basically, we're just trying to ascertain which of our PlayStation and Switch games Xbox players would like to play. And I, of course, replied with, let's get them Taito compilations on Xbox.
What day did they post that?
May 8th, yesterday.
May 8th, okay.
Shenmue 3 is a popular one. A lot of people asking for that. The Wonder Boy games. Ray Storm and Ray Crisis.
Yeah, they don't ask that on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I would like Air Twister and Root Double.
And what?
And Root Double.
What's that one?
It's a visual novel that came out on the Switch. And I think it only came out on the Switch.
I think it's on Steam.
Oh, nice.
Root Double Before Crime, After Days Extend Edition.
That is very likely it.
As you own it.
That does not shock me. I own probably a little over 100 visual novels on Steam.
You know what shocks Joe?
I own over 1,200 games on Steam.
Yeah, and Horak Light is pointing out Air Twister is on Xbox.
Oh. Huh. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, then. It is there.
Just Root Double then. Okay.
And Zerna costs $24.99.
Nice.
So, any other news, or should we dive in our reviews?
Let's dive into reviews. Yes. Yes.
What was that voice?
I don't know.
Kind of like Cartman.
She gets him. Sure, that'll work.
First game to talk about tonight is called Towerborn, developed by Stoic Studio, published by Xbox. Game provided to us by Xbox for the purpose of this coverage. Released April 29th on Xbox Series X and S via Game Preview. There are three Founders Packs available, $24.99, $44.99, and $69.99. Base game is available with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Towerborn is a new kind of looter brawler combining side-scrolling combat with action RPG loot progression and endless customization. You're an ace born anew from the spirit realm with special skills, grit, and determination. Unite with other aces and fight as one to defend the Belfry, humanity's last refuge from the dark forces outside its walls. When you become the ace humanity needs to survive, explore, fight, and grow stronger. Together. Aki, what is Towerborn?
Okay, in this, you play as an ace. You get to make your own character, and it's basically someone who has died and come back after their city called Numbers was destroyed. Why these things are labeled the things they are, I have no idea. They all have incredibly stupid names. But you are one of a handful of aces, and the things that separates them from everyone else is you get to die over and over and over and suffer the pain and get brought back. Woo! So, you know, that makes you great frontline soldiers for these people, because you're expendable to the extreme, because not only can they expend you once, they can do it a billion times. Yeah. So in this, you get to pick a set of weapons to use and level up with using them. You have a sword and shield combo. You have two dagger combo. You have a pyromancer staff thing that looks like a gigantic two-handed mace. And I think there's another one, but since I don't have my Xbox right in front of me, I can't check, because I'm pretty sure there's four, but I only remember three. I apologize. I've only played as one, because that's the only one that matters, and that's the sword and shield, because it gets bitches. So as you play through them, through the game, you get new gear after every area you either beat, or even if you lose in it, you still get whatever gear you've picked up, which is nice. There's different tiers of gear. They all have different stats for them. They all have like a base defense stat, gear stat, and attack stat for all of them. But all the bonuses, like, you get this percentage of extra attack power and stuff like that, changes between anytime you obtain a piece of gear. You also find little artifacts that you can equip onto three pieces of your gear that also give you some bonus stuff. Sometimes, like, if you hit five times without an enemy blocking, you get some extra might, which is just a momentary stat that increases your attack power, basically, stuff like that. Throughout this, you're going around a map, basically, and beating tiles. You enter a tile, and then it's a side-scrolling game where you're going either all the way right or all the way left, and you're killing absolutely every fucking thing in every section. And then you're allowed to move on to the next section over and over until you get to the end of the level, where there's usually a chest with some gear in it that you can take, and then you get to choose either to go back to the Belfry, which is a giant tower, which is where all the survivors from the city called Numbers is, or you can just stay on the map screen and go to the next location and beat the shit out of all the enemies there. There are a ton of places to go into, and I mean a metric fuck ton of them. And so you have a very long game ahead of you. The game also has some little quests that you can pick up from a quest board, and they give you something called writs. Those writs you can use, a lot of them are going to come from that. Some of them will come from emissions as well, but you use writs to obtain different cosmetic items, basically. So if you have FOMO, you probably don't want to play this game, or you want to spend a lot of money. It's up to you, whichever, because that is the name of this game. Get all this stuff. It's all cosmetic. There's nothing that's like going to make you super powerful or anything. It's going to be, you know, different visuals for different pieces of gear, for some weapons, even for your little animal companion thing. I forgot what they're actually called. There's a few of them you can find throughout the game. I've personally only found two so far. They basically just give you other abilities, like the one that I tend to have equipped allows you a ranged attack, basically, every so often when it's actually recharged. Another one, I think, gives you some healing that has to be recharged, stuff like that. It's nothing super major, but it's something good to have, just as a little extra. While you're doing this, you're leveling up your character and that weapon style that you have equipped. So every one of the little tiles that you clear gives you a little bit of points towards your one ranking. I don't know what the hell that ranking is or what importance it has, to be honest. But you also get experience, which levels up your actual character, as well as experience for that fighting style that you're using. The fighting style goes all the way up to, I believe, level 50 is where it's cut off. I haven't quite reached there yet. I think I'm in either the low 40s or high 30s, something like that right now. So I don't know if, like, you prestige and get extra abilities or what. I don't know. Or if you just move to the next fighting style and start leveling that up. And yeah, the gear that you find isn't necessarily going to be for your fighting style, which is kind of irritating, but I guess it's fine for individuals who are like, I want to change stuff up occasionally, because it means you get to have high-level gear for all of your stuff instead of just for whatever you're using. But it also means that it's sometimes kind of a pain in the ass to find stuff you need for your own character, for how you want to play. Thankfully, all the armor and stuff is the same between all the classes. It's just the weapons that are different. And yeah, you do level up your danger assessment, basically. It's a little test that you go in and do. And if you beat it, you're allowed to go into a new zone that's higher danger and therefore requires a higher gear score. Because that's how this game calculates your strength, is what your gear score is. Woohoo! And yeah, the map is huge. I haven't even uncovered even a quarter of it, I don't think, because this is meant to be played for a very long fucking time. Yeah, any questions?
Are you having fun with it?
Yes. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. This really feels like a game where you're like, hey, I'm going to spend the next like 10 minutes playing this to get through a level or two, see if I can get a quest done. And then I'm going to take a break for a chunk of the day, go to work, whatever, come back home, maybe play a little bit more. That seems to be really what this game is made to be played for, because the side-scrolling stuff, all the fighting is side-scrolling, and it's the same thing every time. Yeah. Because like you do have different biomes, and some of those biomes will have different enemies, but you might have like 20 or 30 different levels that are all this fucking biome, and you can't just bypass any of them. You have to unlock them, because once you finish one, it shows you the ones that are attached to it, and you can go and fight in any of those. To get to another biome, you have to make a pathway from where you are to that biome, beating all the ones in between, which will be the exact same biome. And there's a lot of different pathways to different biomes. If you want to get to different stuff, you basically have to beat everything. So you end up playing a lot of levels that, whilst there obviously are some differences, it's mostly the same thing for, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours at a time as you finish out, like the Greenlands, for instance, and then another one for the fungal forest, and then so on. So while it's fun for a little while, it gets very boring very quickly because it is very repetitive. So I feel like it's really more meant to be played like 10, 20 minutes at a time, beat a few levels, and then go do something else, come back to it style game. Just enough to get your daily quests in that seem to recharge at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning EST.
How was the online play?
I haven't bothered with it because it's not really necessary. I have died to like 2 enemies, and that's it. My entire playtime, and I tend to play it at the highest difficulty I am currently able to. I will probably soon be looking to play some multiplayer in hopes that the danger level thing can be done in co-op, because it's the one for the highest rank, which is danger level 5, is timed. And I'm not quite fast enough to kill it on my own because there's a bunch of healing pools for the enemy, because fuck my life. So I will probably see if that's co-opable, but that will realistically be the only thing I've even had the debate on doing co-opable, because everything else is pretty easy, actually, especially if you're sitting there basically killing and finishing all the different levels. You can only play most of these once, by the way. So once you're finished with a level, it's not there anymore. You have access to now, you know, 2, 3, however many other levels. Some of them are replayable, but they're few and far between. I think right now I have like 4 or 5 different levels that can be replayed as much as I want. And it's basically so you can continue to do the quests. Some of them might be like, oh, go complete a quest in the Evergreen. And obviously, if you've already finished that out, well, you wouldn't be able to do it. So they have a level that's just always there. It's somewhat randomized what actually you have to do in it, but it's still most of the same old, so it's for being able to finish quests or why those missions exist. And yeah, I've not needed to play co-op at all. It is a very pretty easy game, especially if you play like I do, where I stack bleed damage and poison damage on everything, as well as constant regen effects on myself. Makes it a kind of a cakewalk.
Oh, it just kind of feels like you're missing half the game if you're not playing online. Like, so much of the game and the promotion talks about like doing things online and doing things together and facing greater challenges and whatnot. I'm wondering if you didn't really get into it.
Randoms.
Yeah. Find friendships and.
Joe, do you remember who you're talking to?
Yeah, but that's the goal of this game, is to just hop in and out with other people and get missions done. I've had very little time with the game because of my arm, but even I got a few online games in. Very easy to get going.
You can invite people in the middle of the game if you want to. I guess I can talk a little bit on it because I know how it works, even if I haven't actually used it myself. Basically, the entire time, other players are in the game with you at all times, basically, unless you're actually fighting the level solo. They're on the map screen, they're in the Belfry Tower with you, they're everywhere, and you can actually invite any of them you want into the game with you, and they just immediately pop right in, and then y'all can go do stuff. It's a very nice system, actually, to get people in and out of your game with you. It's very effective. I actually like how it's set up. I just haven't really needed to use it.
I think we should play online.
All right, fine. I will try it. I will try it, and I will update you on Tuesday. There, be happy. We'll play with the other children, I guess.
Let's talk about the pricing on this. It is available to play if you have Game Pass Ultimate. Should people download it and give it a go?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're going to very quickly realize if this is your kind of game or not. Granted, it's basically a side-scrolling beat-em-up with weapons, so you probably already know if you want the game or not, yeah. Realistically speaking, by that. But if you're questioning whether you want to, yeah, totally. Go get it, because like, all the different payment methods or different versions of the game just come with extra like in-game currency and stuff. I was gonna say there are
three founders packs, 25, 45, and 70. They come with access to the game, cosmetic sets, emotes, founders bonuses, skins, belfry bucks, which is the in-game currency. The higher end one comes with curio cores as well. Do you think it's worth picking up any of those founders packs?
If you have FOMO issues, I wouldn't suggest getting this game at all, because you're going to start sinking money, a lot of money into it very quickly. But if you don't have that and you're like, well, I might like some of that stuff, some of the customization stuff, then go ahead and pick up one of the cheaper ones, because really all they are is just the money and the curio things are literally to unlock little basically battle passes, more or less, that you have to do the dailies for in order to get stuff off of it. And it's, again, more customization stuff that's just visual looks, emotes occasionally, and occasionally stances and stuff, like, you know, when your character waves, things like that. So you're not really missing much if you're like, I'm not particularly interested in that, then just go with just the base game as is, because that's really all the founder packs are, is just some of that stuff for free and some curios and some money to buy some of the other cosmetics in there. So if none of that interests you, just play the base game. It's the same thing. You're not missing really anything.
Now, let's not forget, if you don't have Game Pass Ultimate, you're going to need a Founders Pack to play.
Oh, go with the cheapest one then. But I suggest try it out on Game Pass Ultimate. Just buy it for a month or whatever and just try it out. See if it's something that is up your alley. If it is, then, and you want to buy it, then buy it. Otherwise, you know, enjoy Game Pass Ultimate for as long as you want. Whatever.
All right. Well, moving on. Next game, Two Falls, Nishu Takuri. Do they say this in the game?
No, they do not. Takuachina is what I would suggest.
Takuachina?
Takuachina, yes.
Takuachina. Developed and published by Unreliable Narrators. Released May 2nd on Series X and S and PS5 for $24.99. As you play through Two Falls, you uncover the distinct realities and cultures of Jean and Mikan, each with their unique perspective on life. With two distinct artistic and musical directions, you'll interpret the events of their points of view and discover that a single event can have vastly different meanings for each character. Bree, what is Two Falls?
This is a first-person narrative adventure set in 17th century Canada, focusing on two characters, Jean, a French woman who finds herself far from the colonies, and Mikan, a native Innu hunter trying to find the source of disturbance in his local forest. This is fully voice-acted and has subtitles as a default. You can also listen to the game in French. The game moves back and forth between two characters in short stints. Jean finds herself the only survivor of a shipwreck, aside from the captain's dog. She has no idea how to get to Quebec and needs to survive in the wilderness. Yay. She meets Pierre, a fur trader, who needs help with some stitches. And after some convincing, he agrees to help lead Jean to Quebec. But then she finds herself traveling alone after a series of unfortunate events. And we follow the rest of her journey trying to find her way to safety. Mikan, whose name means wolf, is on the trail of something strange happening in the forest, where a frost is hurting the plants and animals like a supernatural spirit attacking things. And then he finds evidence of white men killing animals and skinning them and leaving the corpse to rot. and the vengeful spirit of winter killed one of the hunters and froze him to death, and Mykon ends up being on the trail of Jean and Pierre as he searches for the white wolf pelt so he can bury the dead wolf and end the wrath of the winter spirit and save his people. The story segments end in little cliffhangers. The choice points can make pop-up traits that are strengthened by your selection, like Jean's faith or Mykon's trustfulness. Your choices can also strengthen relationship ratings with the other characters you deal with in your travels. So, like, if you lie too much, people might not trust you, things like that. The story also deals, in general, with the emergence of a changing world between white people and native people. And the history of this in North America is storied, and this game adds to that voice. The game is beautiful. It's got its own artistic style. The lighting is well done. The forest is gorgeous. Not a ton in the way of music, but what there is was lovely, and the forest ambiance audio is delightful. I would put this game in a fairly educational category. We learn about 17th century cultural ideas between native tribes and the French. There's a game codex that gives some of the history of locations and characters and plants and animals. There are titles in the Innu language with translations. And this is the sort of game I would actually recommend to people in my historic reenactment circles. Like, the historical narrative feels really close to Jamestown, where I volunteer as a costume interpreter. So this is the sort of thing I can use as a discussion point when people bring up, you know, Assassin's Creed. I'll be like, well, have you heard about this game? Because this is maybe more the conversation we're having here.
That's really cool.
Yeah, the game is fairly linear, but your character choices have an impact on outcomes like character development. I would say the game takes about 4 or 5 hours to complete across 7 episodes. I could say this is close to a walking sim, but there's a bit more to do. There's some chase sequences, you have to interact with the environment and with other characters, there's some cutscenes. You can pet the dog.
Yay.
Most of the achievements are story-based, but there are some missables, so I'll be giving this a second playthrough to see what different choices mean for the different characters. There is no chapter select, sadly, but there is a way to keep your learned codex entries through your next playthrough. So I missed some things, like apparently I missed a frog somewhere, which I don't have a codex entry for a frog, and there's an achievement, something to do with a frog, so I'll be looking out for frogs. Also, the game auto-saves, so if you miss something, you can't load a previous save.
Oh.
Yeah. I might compare this to something like Firewatch. Mm. The story is suspenseful in places. There's a greater mystery going on. The characters are interesting, and it is a thoughtful and even insightful narrative that I think people will enjoy. There was one thing I would warn people about while trying not to give too many spoilers. If you are not cool with seeing animals get harmed, this is not the game for you. Not to say that I condone such things, but there is a scene in this that may cross the line for some people.
Mm.
There's also a linguistic plot hole at the end of the game that bothered me a bit.
I'm going to ask you about that later, because now I'm curious.
Yeah.
Well, it is $24.99. If you buy it in the next week, at least on Xbox, $5 off. What are your thoughts on this at $25?
I think this is a quality game, and I think at the launch sale price of $20, I'm more inclined to recommend it as a buy it. The narrative was emotional at times and thought-provoking. It did a good job of portraying the history of unstable relations. Unstable relations between natives and the French in the mid-1600s in Canada in a way that didn't feel too heavy-handed. It was still just something like, you know, you're watching a movie or, you know, whatever. It's not, like, preachy. But I enjoyed this enough, I'm going to just say buy it.
Very good. All right. Root Beer in chat saying, I need this game. Also got to give a shout-out to Root Beer for their sub. They subbed for 64 months earlier. Slap My Penguin subbed earlier in the show. And then before we went live, Goldeneye and Trash Rando both subbed. So I'm just finally getting around to thanking everybody. But thank you. Enjoy the emotes. Enjoy the kitty cats. And enjoy the subs, the sub bonuses and the giveaways. Which, we'll mention one in a few minutes here. But Next game is Kyborg, developed and published by Sobaka Studio. Released April 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $29.99, PC for $24.99. Kyborg is a relentless roguelike beat-em-up where you enhance your body with new cybernetic implants each run. You've been sent to the worst prison in the galaxy for crimes you didn't commit. Death won't provide an escape, but a violent reality show may offer a way out. Jacob, what is Kyborg?
So Kyborg is a 3D roguelike beat-em-up that is very much in the vein of like the Running Man. And you play as this guy who has been brought back to life. There is like a plot line going on in the background, but I didn't progress far enough to be able to get that far into it. Because you are going to be spending a lot of time dying in this game, but we'll get to that part later. So you are this guy who got reincarnated, or not reincarnated, but like brought back by science. And you move through these levels and you have to beat up everyone, well, kill everyone in your path as you try to fight your way to freedom. It's some sort of like TV show, as I said, like The Running Man, that everyone's watching you on, and you have all sorts of stuff at your disposal. At first, you just start off with your fists, but eventually you can start unlocking weapons that you could start with at the beginning. And these weapons, eventually you can upgrade to better choices. There's also augmentations that can mess with like how your body works with stuff, like whether your quick shots are more accurate, or if like every single time you punch, you like do electrical damage, stuff like that. And as you go through, you keep earning like all this like data points, which once you die, you can use those data points to build up your skill tree. And so you can do all sorts of stuff. Like you can get extra health. You can get certain types of weapons right from the get-go when you start. You can also activate synergy between certain augmentations. Very similar to like how two weapons like in Vampire Survivors, like let's say like the Garlic and Heart, if you level both of them up far enough, like they not only work together, but like they create like a more efficient weapon for you to fuck shit up with. And so your powers can do similar stuff like that. And yeah, it's just you're moving through this whole thing, and you get the narrator, who is the guy hosting the show, or the, like the live stream or whatever. You also have like an AI companion who will give you tips as you move through and help explain some of the stuff. She also seems to provide some backstory. But yeah, you're going to be dying a lot through this. I mean, that's how roguelikes usually are. So just up front, it's going to be happening a lot. So don't get too frustrated. But despite a janky camera at times and graphics, which are, they're all right, this game is pretty damn fun. Like you can unlock more combos. Like the weapons are a blast to mess with. And honestly, like if you get the correct like augmentations and stuff, you can really start messing stuff up, provided that you last long enough. So hopefully you're able to make use of augmentations that will extend your life or like help your defense. There are like meditation rooms that pop up every once in a while. But I only found them to like to make me last like an extra like one or two levels. Health is scarce in this game, and despite the fact that like sometimes you'll get weapons but augmentations that will supposedly like heal you and stuff, they almost never did for me. So I don't know if I just didn't understand the directions correctly or what, but damn, this game is hard. But it is
addictive and a lot of fun. I like the screenshot.
Yeah, it is. I was gonna say it's super violent. Like it reminds. It reminds me, like, kind of like violence levels of like Manhunt and Mad World from way back in the day. But yeah, it's really satisfying to just like run around and like do all these leaping kicks and just like your foot just goes through somebody and they just explode in this like big pile of blood and flesh.
Lord.
You know, honestly, like the hand-to-hand combat is like the most satisfying part of the game. I always liked getting the I always chose the electrical damage loadout, because that was always a lot of fun. Like, you're lit up like Iron Man. And yeah, like, you're just like, it's gonna sound, I mean, I don't know, it's just so satisfying, like, you know, like punching through like an entire crowd of people. Yeah, like, I'm having fun with it. One of my coworkers, he's also been playing it. He actually beat it last night. Was telling me, like, started telling me about, like, oh, you need to start messing with this loadout and you'll breeze through the game a heck of a lot quicker. So there's a lot of trial and error with it, especially with the amount that you're going to be dying at the beginning. But I promise you, if you stick with it, this is a really satisfying roguelike.
All right, well, it's $30, $25 on PC. What do you think?
I'd recommend it. It's a lot of fun. I think you'll get a lot of replayability out of this game. And yeah, it's just fun to tinker while fucking everybody up.
Cool. Sounds good. Next game, Bartender Hustle, developed by Departure Interactive, published by Ultimate Games, released May 7th on Xbox One and Series X and S. For $17.99, craft stunning cocktails with precision and creativity as you rise through the ranks of the bartending world. Unlock a variety of unique venues, from cozy neighborhood bars to high-end cocktail lounges, all while immersing yourself in a rich narrative-driven experience that puts your skills and charisma to the test. Ultimate Games was awesome enough to hook us up with a couple extra copies of this game, and I think we should give one away now. What do you think?
Sounds like a good idea.
All right. Giveaway draw. Who wins? Congrats to Raider Biz. You just won yourself a copy of the game. I am not resetting the drawing. We'll keep these going until the end of the show because we have another copy to give away. Shout out again, yay, Ultimate Games, for hooking us up with the codes. Bree, tell us about the game.
So yeah, Bartender Hustle is a cocktail making sim where you have a menu book and a very detailed bar setup to mix your drinks. There are several modes: story, arcade, sandbox, and endless. Story mode is probably the main mode I spent my time in. You get jobs at different bars and serve cocktails to patrons. Besides the objective or completing story mode, a lot of the achievements are for serving certain types of drinks, like a screwdriver or an old fashioned. Others are for serving types of customers, like doctors and farmers. Story mode is great for learning the basics of the game because it comes with a tutorial and is built to start slow with your skills. So, like, you don't necessarily need to go to the cocktails that have like 8 different ingredients and you have to shake it or stir it or whatever. It starts out with like, let's try slinging some beer and pouring some wine and like maybe a 2 ingredient cocktail, like a screwdriver. Arcade mode allows you to start your own bar and turn a profit. The more you build your reputation, the better off you are. In fact, there are a few achievements for getting your reputation up to certain levels. Arcade mode is a bit more challenging than story mode and expects you to know your stuff, as it is fast-paced. You also need to clean and maintain the bar in that mode. Sandbox allows you to choose your environment and time of day and go to work mixing cocktails where you can take your time, be creative, learn the layout of the basic bar setup, and practice mixing drinks. There's also a timer to help you improve your times. To get some customization of your bar equipment, like shakers, cocktail napkins, umbrellas, and more, you need to unlock them in story mode, though. And lastly, endless mode. You choose the bar that you want. You make some cocktails. You serve 2 customers at a time. They order 2 drinks and bugger off to let the next one in. Pretty basic. The story follows Amy, who's been out of work for a few weeks, needs to get her rent money fast. You can change your outfit, and then you go off to work at the new bar. She's never been a full bartender before, and it's her trial shift at a recently reopened bar called Whiskey's Pub. You're kind of on your own, but you have a recipe book and some convenient highlighting to help you find what you need to mix your drinks. You have to do more than serve drinks, though. You have to talk to bar patrons, sometimes come up with creative ideas to solve annoying problems, like finding a drink for a bodybuilder who insists on a protein shake you don't have on your menu. You collect tips for drinks as part of your pay. So while you technically can take your time, you want to hustle a little to get the max amount of butts in seats to be able to maximize your pay per shift. And then you're, like, at the end of your shift, you have a bonus for doing perfect. You get extra cash for that, but then it also takes out your daily, like, expenses for your rent and stuff like that. The customers sometimes have really interesting stories to help pass the time, like the ER doctor who took care of a kid who shattered all the bones in his arm by throwing it into a moving washing machine.
What?
Yeah, that was one of the stories in there from your customer. Some of your customers are pretty quirky. You can even play games with some of the customers, too, like tic-tac-toe. If you do good in your shifts, you'll get promoted to new bars with more complicated drinks and procedures. To make a drink in the game, you'll have to go through several steps. Mixing drinks gets easier once you know what you have available and where everything is. The first drink I mixed in sandbox mode took me like 5 minutes because I had no fucking clue where anything was. First, you pull up your recipe, which gives you step-by-step instructions on how to make the drink. You choose your glass, from shot glasses to Collins glass, cocktail, wine, champagne flutes, you know, whatever different glasses you need for the right glass for the right drink. Next, you put ice in if it needs it. You pour the correct amount of ounces of liqueur, wine, etc. And then you add in any mix-ins like grenadine, sodas, juices, and then you garnish it with things like lemon. Add a straw or a cocktail umbrella. You might need to shake drinks, stir them, set them on fire. There's a lighter on there. You actually have to set things on fire sometimes. It's great. Your recipe will tell you what and how. And you aren't limited to cocktails. Like I said, you can pour a variety of beer, wine, and champagne. The recipe book also gives you some of the history of cocktails, like the modern variation of the tequila sunrise comes from California in the 1970s. But the original was invented in the 1930s by a bartender named Gene Sulit from Arizona. So that was a thing I learned.
That's pretty cool.
And there are things that make some aspects of the game a breeze. When you make a mistake, you can press the right stick to trash your glass. In story mode, things highlight for you, but learning where things are really helps you go fast. When you're done with an ingredient, you can press left trigger to just throw it back automatically to where it goes. Learning things, though, like that wine is a 5-ounce pour and beer is an 8-ounce pour really help. Also, the beer taps sort of auto stop like really close to the 8-ounce mark, so that helps out a lot. There's a music app in the game you can pull up to change the track. You can favorite tracks. There's like EDM and house music, chill beats, just a good mix of tracks to have in the background while you work. And you can adjust the volume on the little app's bar. So you've got multiple ways to make the volume mix how you want it, which is good. There's also outfit and apartment customizations you can purchase with money that you earn that's left over after paying rent. There's a bartender quiz on your laptop that will give you bonus money in addition to working your shift. The game saves when you go home and sleep after your shift for the story mode. I had a really good time with this one. The story was fun. The game also tries to impart info not just about making drinks, but actually like being a bartender and the sorts of things you might have to deal with, like carding people and dealing with weirdos that you have to talk to. So, yeah, I had a good time with this one.
If you fail, does John Taffer from Bar Rescue come in and start yelling, "Shut it the fuck down! Test is over!"
No.
I love that
I've never
show.
Seen that show. Never seen it.
Oh, it's so fun to watch.
I will have to check that out.
He finds a failing bar and he comes in and he's like, "We're going to do a test run with your current staff and we're going to load this fucker up and we're going to have the most people you've ever had here." And of course they fail.
He's of course.
"Shut it the fuck down. This test is over." Then he revamps the restaurant and teaches them new shit and 6 months later, they close, whatever. Next game to talk. An awful segue. Did I ask your verdict on that? $18?
No. No, buy it. There you go.
Cool. And if you don't want to buy it, try winning it, because we're giving away another copy later on this evening on Twitch. Just a reminder, if you don't watch the show on Twitch, you're missing out. You could win shit. Thanks to McGames again for picking us up. All right, next game, Cooking Companions, developed by Dear Dream Studios, published by Serenity Forge, released April 29th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, $14.99. Deep in the woods of the Tatras Mountains, supplies dwindle and floodwaters are rising. It's up to you to keep spirits high and make the most of your survival skills. Will you butter up the right person? Will you wind up on the chopping block? Jacob, what is Cooking Companions?
So, Cooking Companions is a horror visual novel, which the game does warn you ahead of time, like, you're going to be dealing with some disturbing and distressing stuff. So, you know, are you okay with it or not? And I do appreciate the fact that you actually get that you're given a choice on that. Anyways, as you proceed through the game, you have to, all right. So the plot of it is that you're camping with a bunch of friends, out in this remote cabin, like, and it's so remote that town is like an hour at least away. But you know, it's okay. You can hunt, you can forage and all this other kind of stuff. And then it turns out that the rainy season is about to start and there's floodwaters, that are very quickly rising up, and you guys have to start rationing stuff. And, you are the one that's responsible for making the meals, and you have to keep everybody happy as long as the food lasts. And when it doesn't, things start taking a really not great turn, as you can imagine.
Mm.
Like, possibly Donner level party stuff. I
will a musical.
Yeah, it's like, and it's much like
Kemko's Raging Loop.
Much like Kemko's Raging Loop that I had reviewed last year, I believe, like late last year. This is one of those visual novels where I really can't go into the plot line without messing it up. So, yeah. But yeah, as you progress through it, like, you get to make decisions of like who you're going to talk to, what are you going to say to them, and that helps build up your relationship meter with certain people, and doing so will cause certain events to trigger with it. But it's all still leading towards some really messed up stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty friggin' wild. It takes some twists I wasn't expecting. My wife was just like, could you please play something like less distressing and depressing? like,
how are the dating sim elements?
So there's not really a lot of dating sim elements to it. Like, it touches on it, like, it dabbles a little bit, but like, that was the relationship thing that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
there's really not much to it, but and it does do some like RPG kind of battling at some point. But yeah, it's a really interesting title.
To piggyback off what your wife was saying, the game is M-rated. The store page does have a warning that says this game is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed. Yep. And then some bad news for Aki. There is also a warning that the game may potentially trigger seizures for people with photosensitive epilepsy and that viewer discretion is advised.
I want this game.
Yeah. Like, here I thought it was going to be like a simple like cooking visual novel thing, and then like the code came in and I like really started getting into it, and it was like, oh god, what did I, this was, it wasn't exactly the opposite, because like, you know, I figured that there would be some struggles and stuff like that, but oof, yeah, I was not prepared for the wild turns that this thing takes.
All right, well, $15.
Absolutely.
If you pick it up in the next day or two, you could save $3 on Xbox. But $15, your official verdict.
Do it. Buy it.
Yeah, it's on my wish list now.
Cool.
Can I just say before you go on that I'm so excited that you know about Cannibal the Musical? Anyway.
Oh, come on. I fucking love that movie.
I had like a bootleg of it like before anybody else knew it, and that made me cool or something. I don't know. I love that movie.
Sky is blue and all the leaves are green. My heart is warm as a baked potato.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, good shit. Next game to talk about, Royal Romance's Endless Winter, developed and published by Legacy Games, released May 2nd on Xbox One, Series X and S for $12.99. Sometimes saving one life can change the fate of many. You melt the ice in people's hearts. Bree, tell us about it.
So this is another hidden object puzzle point-and-click adventure in the Royal Romances series. You don't need to have played the others to play this one, even though they have some related plot and characters. This series was originally released episodically, which is why it's called a collector's edition, as this game has multiple episodes in one game to tell the complete story. This game does not have off-numbered achievements like the rest of their games. This has normal numbered achievements.
I'm not interested.
It's a shocker. I know. There are four difficulty levels from casual to hardcore and a custom mode. Changes in the levels are things like access to puzzle skips and hints, as well as tutorials and active zones. There's an extra section that gives you wallpapers, music, movies, concept art, and a bonus chapter, as well as the ability to replay hidden object puzzles and minigame puzzles, of which there are 36 each. You can also view some of the many collectible objects that you find in different scenes here. The story is that the elven people and other fantasy creatures once lived in a beautiful forest. There's a witch causing eternal winter, and our companion's brother has gone up the mountain to stop her. We have to help restore balance to the land, but is the witch really the cause of the snowy curse? Ooh, you have to play to find out. The gist of gameplay is that you zoom in on certain areas, you find objects that could help you in your quest. You might need a key, but it's broken, so you gotta make a new one using a forge that you found after you get some metal that you can melt down to make a copy of a broken key. You also find notes and clues to puzzles that you might solve down the road, and sometimes you find the items you need. To find items, you have to search through piles of junk in hidden object puzzles. And as often is the case with games like this, you'll find lockpicks or screwdrivers or other sensible and useful objects. And then after using them once, you just throw them into the aether, never to be seen again. And you have to find some new solution 5 minutes later to the same problem. There is a very good variety of hidden object puzzles, like finding pairs, finding specific items on a list, finding all of the kind of item in a scene. And if you get stuck on a hidden object puzzle, I say hidden object puzzle a lot, and I have just H-O-P written in my notes, and it's tripping me up like crazy every time I see H-O-P. You can instead play a match 3 game. There are hard and easy versions with different solutions to each of the minigame puzzles too. And minigames are a wide variety, from music puzzles to locks to chess and jigsaw puzzle type games. There are also conversations with NPCs that you can have that affect the story outcome. Usually the choices are pretty obvious. They award stars, and it even shows you that it awards stars. So like, choose the right thing or you might end your game. I don't know what happens if you choose the wrong thing, because I always choose the right and sensible thing. But yeah, if you like these sorts of hidden object puzzle games, this is a decent one. The cursor is a bit finicky, as per usual, but I've gotten used to that. I got stuck really early on because I didn't think to use the drum as a fulcrum for a fire poker to lift a great door off its hinge. There's some mediocre voice acting to accompany some of the scenes, and the music's pretty good.
All right, well, it clocks in at $12.99. What do you say?
Go for it.
Maybe I will.
All right.
First, I got to change those achievement values. I need more fucked up numbers.
Yeah.
Next game, One Button Games 5-in-1 Volume 2, developed by ABBA Games, published by Zetalon, releasing May 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store for $4.99 each. Pre-orders are up now with a $3.99 discount price. Challenge yourself with these 5 one-button fast-paced games. I think everyone played it. Who wants to talk about it?
Well, I want to say one thing first, and then someone else can talk for a few minutes. You were just complaining that you need off-numbered achievements like 18s. This game is full of them.
Yay!
Yuck, full of them.
All right, somebody else talk.
Aki, tell us about One Button Games 5-in-1 Volume 2. She's muted. Aki, I'm calling you out. She's not paying attention, is she? All right, Jacob, you tell us about it.
So what the heck is it called?
One-button games, 5-in-1.
5-in-1.
Volume 2.
Okay. I'm just going to call it one-button games. Anyways, this collection is, as you may have guessed, 5 different games that require you to only press...
8 buttons.
No.
Are you sure? 7?
Yeah, it's in the name.
And now she's...
12.
In the name.
5.
2.
There's literally only like 3 numbers in the name of this game thing. So come on, guys. Like,
it's you five, really obviously. Only have 5.
Button. All right, you got 2 more guesses. No. No.
Button is not, I know the answer.
Button is not a number.
What's the answer, Bree?
What's the answer?
1.
Damn it, I was hoping you'd there say you a go. Number.
Honestly, I was expecting to say no, Patrick, mayonnaise is not an instrument. But yeah, you only have to press one button, and the game is based on very very retro gaming ideas, like obvious. Are you done?
No, apparently. No. Where did we get a duck quack from? What the fuck?
Discord sound. That's a default Discord sound. All right, Jacob, go ahead. Sorry.
I don't remember the exact list of what the games are.
I have a list here in my notes.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
I can tell you which ones I loved the best.
Yeah,
me too. You're able to finish.
All right. So the first one is D Pistols. You tap A to turn and fire, and you hold A to crossfire in 4 directions as the little red enemies come running at you from different directions.
That game sounds really, really simple. It is surprisingly difficult.
It is.
Yeah, I wasn't as much of a fan of that one. Like, I don't know. It just didn't do anything for me. It's not bad. It's just like it wasn't my bag.
It's all right, yeah. The next one was Embattled. There's a bunch of tanks shooting at you, and you can dodge bullets by turning and tapping A, or you can hold the A button to put up walls and defend against the bullet barrage. I didn't really get the goal of this game. Were you supposed to, like, let the bullets hit the other
tanks? The only way to destroy the tanks is to have them fire at each other, move out the way, and let them hit each other.
I couldn't tell what was happening, but I got a score of 3, and I was like, all right, and then I died. And I didn't understand that one.
That one was honestly my least favorite out of all of them.
Yeah, and I don't know how Scotty finished that, because apparently Scotty's beaten all of these, and I don't know how. Because I don't even know if I've gotten to 10 points on that game, and I've tried quite a few times. I fucking suck at that game.
Totogi, you're a little bird thing, and you're falling down a well, and there's spikes, and you have to jump to avoid the spikes with the A button. And you move back and forth across the screen as you fall, and the jump is a little interrupt on your fall. And the sidewalls, when you hit them, move you back in the other direction. And the further you go, the higher you score for dodging spikes.
Yeah, but it also goes for the length that you're falling.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And the spikes are of different sizes and lengths, so.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I really dug this one. This one was pretty
Carnage. Yeah, I did all three stacks too. Oh my god.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Scott. I mean, I've been working on the two that I have all three. Oh god. Yeah, I'm gonna be doing that too. Yeah,
thanks to Zilon for hooking us up with the facts to talk about.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
I was gonna say this game is not particularly taxing on your PC, so that will help with the stacks.
The graphics are like one bit, and they have like a simulated CRT filter and a screen shake, and you can remove scan lines in the filter and take down the bloom in the options, I think.
Well, there's still two more games on there. Bomb Up.
Yeah, Bomb Up. You tap A and you throw out a round bomb blast as waves of red cubes come in to attack you.
You're falling down a tunnel,
running toward the bottom of the screen as you move back and forth on the plane. You might not have been falling. Just the way that the screen moved. I don't know. You throw bombs ahead of time.
Now, but I think you're
like spam.
Yeah. Actually, now that you mention it, I don't know whether you're actually going up or down.
It doesn't really matter.
But honestly, that one was fun. That one was my favorite.
That's because it's the easiest one out of all of them. Yeah, you just spam throwing the bomb and setting it off.
Yeah, but it's pretty satisfying to just spam that bomb button.
Yeah, it really is. And then the last game was Tap Pump. And this one, you want to collect coins and avoid red bombs as you tap A to jump and hold to pump. Your little green circle that grows and shrinks in size as you side-scroll. You have to balance between jumping and pumping to get a good score. I'm just reading my notes directly.
Don't you?
And there's achievements for getting the size of your circle big.
SML.
It's basically Flappy Birds.
So anyway.
It's basically Flappy Birds, but you also get to grow and shrink yourself to catch. The larger you are, the more of the little pellets you can catch
coins.
All at once, and that gives
like
you, and that gives you a higher multiplier. So you get more per each one of them you pick up. And when you're smaller, you don't get as much. So the whole point is to get as big as you can while not being hit by anything or going off screen, because both result in you dying like a bitch. It wasn't too bad either. And Battlemat is by far the worst out of all of these, and it is a massive pain in the ass.
Yeah.
All right, so five games. Pre-order, you could get it now for $4 per platform. What do all you think of One Button Games 5-in-1 Volume 2?
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, all in all, it was fun.
Even if you only like 3 out of 5, like, it's still a great deal.
Yeah.
I guess
it's like good old arcade shit.
Yeah, these aren't exactly my kind of games because I don't have the nostalgia of ancient shit that all of you guys have. So
she's not like a simpleton.
No, I'm just not like you old people.
You people.
Yes, you old fucks.
Dang, ageist and racist.
Hey. Gotta be something. Disc. Might as well. So, you know, they're fine-ish, I guess. Embattlement really kind of ruins this for me because I hate that one just so much that I hate it more than I liked any of the other ones. So I'm like, if you really like these older style games, go for it. If you don't, I would pass on this just because I don't have the nostalgia for this style of game because this was before my time.
Shut up.
I'm
not old. Shut up. I'm not old.
You're right. Not old. You're ancient.
One final game to talk about tonight, Penguin Flight Beyond the Clouds, developed and published by AFIL Games, released May 8th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Windows Store, PS4, PS5, $4.99 each. In Penguin Flight Beyond the Clouds, join the determined penguin on his quest to defy gravity. This 2D pixel art platformer offers challenging levels, creative obstacles, and high-flying action. Sharpen your reflexes and perfect your timing to master jumps, dashes, and new mechanics as you progress. Each stage presents unique surprises and challenges, all to reach the balloon that lifts you to the next level. Three, what is Penguin Flight Beyond the Clouds?
Well, I'm going to call bullshit on the unique thing, and we'll get to that in a minute. In this, you are a cute penguin with goggles and a scarf, and you try to platform your way through various obstacles to get some helium-filled balloons so you can fly beyond the clouds. Your penguin can jump and dash, and you need to do a lot of that to succeed. You can dash up and at angles, too. I mentioned obstacles. You'll have to deal with spikes, spinning saw blades, swinging balls. You have some helpers, too, like little bubbles that you can bounce on or give you dash boosts and even portals to help you move around the map. Some levels have checkpoints, and there are two achievements for not using them, which is a bit of a challenge. Other challenges for the game include getting through 15 levels without dying, and there's a death counter at the top to tell you how terrible you're doing, as well as a clock if you're the kind of person who enjoys speedrunning. All in all, I had an okay time with this, but was disappointed that some, if not all, of the levels are identical to the original Penguin Flight. I didn't go back and replay level for level to check, but I remember some of those levels being exactly the same, and I remember the ones I really struggled with, so I struggled with them again, and yeah. So I call bullshit on the unique levels. And the setup is the same with the glacier, beach levels, and sky levels, too.
To be fair, it doesn't say unique levels, it says unique surprises.
Surprises! Okay, there you go. There you go.
So were you surprised when you discovered that it was just reskinned levels?
I don't even know that they were reskinned. I feel like it was the exact same game.
I know so we've seen some of these games with different characters and, I guess, I hate saying reskins, but kind of what it is. Especially when we've seen the levels repeat. Like, I don't know if it was necessarily the first Penguin Flight the stages came from, or another character, but I can agree. I've seen these games before where they have reused a level, and I'm not.
Yeah, some of the levels were definitely reused.
Well, it's $5 per platform. What are your thoughts on Penguin Flight Beyond the Clouds?
So it's a solid little platformer for $5. So by itself, not including that there was a Penguin Flight before Beyond the Clouds, I could give it a buy it. But I would warn anyone who played the first game that there is nothing new here, and I would give it a deny it unless you want the easy gamer score, which overall puts it cleanly in the fuck it, why not category for me.
So if this one's Beyond the Clouds, does that make the first game in the clouds?
I don't know.
Does that have anything to do with 3D clouds? More surprises. The developer.
I don't think so.
I thought it was Jijiki Games.
No, this just says AFL anyway. Games.
Oh, yeah. It says Jijiki on the main screen.
Just going off with the Xbox page.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, that's it for this show. We are done. Music this episode, I was talking with my buddy Grant earlier, and we were talking about the game Uniracers, and I showed him a song from my friend Al Sean and Dana Rose and Patrick Jacks called Uniquok, which is just three guitarists doing Uniracers music. Awesome. I'm going to play that.
Nice. Sounds great.
Cool. Anyone have any final words to wrap this show up? Anyone, just, you know.
I don't have anything witty to say. Twinkle?
Pizzle no, sticks.
Bedoinkle.
Winkle.
Pizzle sticks. Bedoinkle. Can Bedoinkle. You not say?
Bedoinkle.
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 Oh, spa. I'm sorry. I was hearing a beat. I was hearing a beat. Bedoinkle. Okay.
There you go. You got it.
Yeah. No. I wasn't hearing it properly.
That sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, probably.
Have a shpadoinkle day, everybody.